Hello. This is the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 18th of March, 2016. The excerpts from the Hampshire Chronicle this week have been edited by Angela Ling and Valerie Lilly. Your readers today are Maria Head.
Hello.
And Lynn Parker.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Tom Williams. The main headlines this week are Silver Hill Battle Set to Go to Supreme Court, Donors Flock to Save Zara, and City Chiefs Call for Market Move. So, may we have the story behind the first headline, please?
Silver Hill Legal Battle Set to Go to Supreme Court. The Silver Hill legal battles may not be finally resolved until next year. Civic chiefs heard that the Supreme Court is likely to be the last battleground in which the legal dispute could be settled. Developer TH Real Estate, THRE, is contesting the ruling that the City Council acted unlawfully in procuring the Silver Hill scheme. It is challenging Kim Gottlieb's successful action brought last year. The Council Cabinet heard that whatever happens, the loser in the hearing due in the High Court in London on May the 24th, 25th, will most likely take the case to the Supreme Court, where there is an 18-month wait. That would push the final result back to late 2017. Howard Bone, Chief Legal Officer at the City Council, told Cabinet last Thursday, whatever the result, it is likely to go on to the Supreme Court. It could be 18 months at the Supreme Court. It will depend on the court timetable and how important the court thinks this should be settled quickly. Should THRE win, then it argues that it will be able to resurrect its scheme for shops and flats that has sparked strong opposition from city residents. A second front is about to be opened. Last month, the Chronicle reported that THRE was set to challenge the decision to terminate the 2004 Development Agreement, DA. THRE sent the Council a pre-action protocol letter outlining its stance that the Council decision was unlawful. Lawyers Hogan Lovells wrote, the Council's decision to terminate the DA before the outcome of the Gottlieb proceedings are known is unlawful because it is unreasonable, irrational and a disproportionate interference in our claimant's enjoyment of its possessions as protected by Article 1 of the First Protocol to the European Convention on Human Rights. The letter blamed the delays on the legal action by Councillor Gottlieb. The City Council responded, saying it was fully entitled to terminate the DA because a further period of delay was unacceptable. The Council was reasonably entitled to decide that it was not prepared to wait any longer.
Donors flock to save Zara. This is humanity, says sick schoolgirl's father on seeing solidarity of community. Among the hundreds who lined up to help, there could be one who could save a schoolgirl's life. Nearly 1,000 people flocked to a donor drive on Saturday to help Winchester teenager Zara Al-Sheikh in her battle against cancer. The 13-year-old is being treated in hospital and desperately needs a stem cell match to treat a form of leukemia. The aspiring artist has struggled to find a donor due to her mixed Arabic and English heritage, prompting Dad, Lua, to make an urgent call for help. He hailed the turnout at St. Peter's Church as incredible and amazing. This is humanity, he said. Her whole affect has changed by seeing the solidarity of friends, people she recognises. When you've been through heavy-duty treatment and hospital, going through all those things, just seeing what people are doing for you helps so much and gives you much faith to battle on. More than 850 people, or two every minute, flowed into the church for the five-minute procedure. Volunteers were given a glass of water to clean the palate before wiping swabs on each side of their cheek for 60 seconds. The swabs are sent off for testing, and matches are returned within 3 to 6 weeks. Stem cells are then removed through the blood or bone marrow and injected into the patient to purge their body of cancer cells. The science behind it is absolutely bonkers, said Joseph Hallett, senior donor recruitment manager at Delete Blood Cancer, the charity which organised the drive. You clean the body of pretty much everything. They're taking your healthy system to give to the patient. He added, when you work with a family, it's down to the wonderful friends and colleagues that come together. It all helps to make a fantastic event, and so many lives can be saved. The charity recruited at nearly 20 times their average daily rate, enlisting hundreds who could help patients, including Zara. And it was all made possible by 40 friends, family and colleagues on the day, as well as classmates at King's School, who spread the campaign on social media. Zara was diagnosed aged 11 and has seen the disease return after going into remission late last year. People of many different ethnicities could provide a suitable match. Mr. Al-Sheikh, himself an intensive care consultant, added, I am personally determined to make Winchester the capital of stem cell donation. Let's make it happen.
City chiefs call for market move. Councillors have called for Winchester's markets to move to a new location. It comes after a specially commissioned review into the markets was carried out by specialists from the retail group. Independent traders warned how the future of Winchester High Street is being put at risk by the spread of market stalls. Many small firms said they suffered over Christmas, of tens of thousands of visitors bypass them, opting for outdoor stalls and Winchester Cathedral's festive market. The review, which cost £6,500, quizzed retailers, consumers and traders. Director of the retail group, Mike Evans, told Winchester Town Forum that more than half the retailers have called for an improvement in management and policing of the markets, better access for shops and a dedicated market area. The survey also revealed that 88% of consumers believe the markets added vitality and vibrancy to Winchester. The key findings of the report accepted it is unfortunate some of the stalls at the top of the market are not of high quality and are bad for a variety of reasons, including poor merchandising and inappropriate products. While the report concluded it is clear that traders and consumers like the markets and there is a good cross-section of product categories, it does need to improve on many levels, including the choice, quality of stalls, consistency of standards, signage, promotion and integration to retailers. For continued success and maintaining the current level of positive contribution, the future market location needs to continue to be in a high footfall and high visibility location. Lib Dem councillor Dominic Hiscock said, I would like to explore another location. I would like to know what the effect would be of moving the market indoors. Conservative councillor Eileen Berry called for it to potentially move to the Brook Shopping Centre. Lib Dem councillor Martin Todd believes the market needs to be far cleaner than it is currently. Lib Dem leader Lucille Thompson believes the market could be moved to the Broadway. Councillor Thompson said, there are times when the choke points are particularly difficult to manage, and I think we should try and sort that out.
That concludes the headlines. Now we have the obituary notices. The following deaths have been announced. Adams, Molly Adams, peacefully in Winchester Hospital. Alford, Eileen Ellen Alford, aged 82. Bilsland, Sue Bilsland, peacefully at home. Botley, Derek William Botley, peacefully aged 97. Cordry, Beryl Cordry, peacefully aged 89. Churchill, Colin George Churchill, aged 88, at Royal Hampshire County Hospital. Denny, Geoffrey Richard Denny, aged 75, in Sweden. Dudman, Hilda Ellen Dudman, peacefully at Westacre Nursing Home, aged 89. Edgington, Margaret Ann Edgington, peacefully at Countess Mountbatten House, aged 74. Flavin, Margaret Flavin, suddenly at home, aged 82. Goodfellow, Dorothy Goodfellow, suddenly in hospital. Holloway, Jenny Holloway, peacefully at home, aged 69. James, Winifred James, aged 91. Jones, Rosemary Alice Jones, peacefully. McLean, His Honour Judge Ian Graham McLean, aged 87. Pike, Gordon Pike, formerly of Oliver's Battery, aged 89. And Taylor, Margaret Jean Taylor, peacefully, aged 82. Christian Comment this week is read by Maria. Thank you, Maria.
And Christian Comment is written by the Reverend Paul Kennedy this week and is titled When Birth and Death Coincide. On the 25th of March, 9 months before Christmas, the Church celebrates Mary being told that she is to bear Jesus, God's Son, into the world. A day we call the Annunciation, after the angel's announcement. However, next Friday, on March the 25th, we celebrate Good Friday, the day that Jesus suffered his passion and is executed. The 2 days won't clash again for over 100 years, but they clashed in 1608 when the poet John Donne was inspired to write upon the Annunciation and Passion falling upon one day. It's a poem of mixed emotions as we, along with Mary, reflect upon this combined commemoration of birth and death. It's as if the wood of the crib and the wood of the cross are hewn from the same tree. Lana Del Rey sang, "We were born to die. Mortality is the cost of life, as Donne recognises. The Church, by letting these days join, hath shown death and conception in mankind is one. However, in Jesus, his self-giving death is the purpose of his life. When Mary says yes to the incarnation in her womb, she is also saying yes to the sacrifice of Christ's crucifixion on Calvary. Donne maps this path through life in which he terms a circle emblem, whose first and last concur this doubtful day, of feast or fast, Christ came and went away." There's a frequent reference to the feminine caught up in this circle. Sometimes this is clearly Mary, sad and rejoiced, she's seen at once and seen at almost 50 and at scarce 15. At other times, the feminine is ambiguous and may refer to our soul, to what is eternal and the source of love within us, the she that sees a cedar plant itself and fall is both Mary and us. Just as Gabriel gives Christ to her, he her to John, will recall the fleeting path of childhood to adulthood and the progression of time in which parents change from being carers to being cared for. In an act that impoverishes Good Friday, Annunciation Day, the Western Church has moved the Annunciation to after our celebration of Easter. We're not going to hear the angel's greeting and Jesus' words of completion from the cross together. The abridgment of Christ's story, which makes one of the angel's Ave and Consummatum Est. It's unfortunate that our church calendar doesn't allow space for the conflicting emotions which afflict and enrich our lives. Luckily, done allows space for reflection upon the person and gospel role of Mary. It's said that we can't understand who Jesus is without understanding Mary. There's a danger that without Mary, Christianity threatens imperceptibly to become inhuman, as the Swiss theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar warned. Mary can help us move beyond an intellectual understanding of Jesus and help us engage our emotions. Yes, we need theories of the atonement, an intellectual understanding of why Jesus hung on the cross, but we also need his mother to be standing at the foot of that cross, embodying the human cost of losing a son and drawing us away from polemical debate into the pathos of love.
Letters this week begin with a letter from Judith Oakes, headed, "He's a Great Dean." "Sir, it may have escaped some of your readers' notice, so I thought it worthwhile noting some of the work of the retiring Dean of Winchester Cathedral. During his 10 years in charge there, he has, among other activities, presided over a building programme costing over £20 million and well underway, ensured that the cathedral's finances are as sound as he can make them in the current financial climate, and nudged some of the cathedral congregation into talking to each other. This is in very welcome contrast to a major project a few hundred yards to the north of the cathedral, to the UK government's finances, and to many communities. Not bad for a religious person. I don't know if anyone has done a PhD on benefits or otherwise that the cathedral brings to the city of Winchester. It might make interesting reading." And that's from Judith Oakes of Mead Road, Winchester.
"Get facts straight. Sir, I consider it irresponsible of the Hampshire Chronicle for printing on your front page, March the 10th, the erroneous statement regarding the cathedral's plans to celebrate the Queen's 90th birthday. The street party being arranged by the cathedral is to mark the Queen's 90th birthday and will merely coincide with the farewell weekend for the Dean. Coincide, as in occur at the same time, very different to the paper statement, it will also be a leaving party for the Dean. The statement issued by the cathedral, which explains exactly why a grant had been requested, could be found on page 2 for those who bother to continue reading about other street parties being held around the county. What that statement did not include, and which your reporter should have discovered, was that this request was for a grant from funds that had been made available by both the city and county councils for the Queen's celebration. Had the cathedral decided not to stage a large party for the Queen's 90th birthday for the wider community due to lack of available funds, they would have been heavily criticised. Damned if you do, damned if you don't springs to mind. I hope the expected outpouring of feeling you will receive from the public will do nothing to mar the joyous street party celebration the cathedral will stage in honour of our beloved Queen's 90th birthday. Perhaps a retraction could be printed next week, also on the front page, giving the true facts which might help to dampen the bad feeling you have unwittingly incurred, although it'll probably be too little, too late." This was written by Geraldine Guthrie, Miles Down Place, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
And Trevor Webble's letter concerns cemetery fees. "Sir, I am astounded at the new fees for Winchester Cemetery. I find the charges thoughtless, extortionate and heartless. In examining the costs, there is not one charge that isn't in multiples of £100. Here are some of the costs. New double dug grave over the age of 12 years and for two people inside Winchester boundary, £1,800 from £1,277. Residents of the wider district and beyond, for example, South Wanston and Twyford, £5,000. For comparison, Southampton City Council charges £865. New single grave for children under 12 inside Winchester boundary, £1,000 from 405. Residents of the wider district, 2,400. For comparison, Southampton City Council charges, this is up to the age of 15, £125. It cannot be right that these charges are allowed to escalate in such a manner. The people going into these graves are people who have paid rates for many years. The roundness of the figures gives the impression that they were plucked from the air, not carefully worked out. If an undertaker or stonemason had increased his costs by such a percentage, there would be national uproar. Parents who live in South Wanston or Twyford and have lost a child are expected to pay £2,400. City Council, you should be disgusted with yourselves. This cost alone shows the lack of thought. I spent many years in the memorial business dealing with the bereaved. I explained burial fees as purchasing a plot of land and memorial fees as obtaining building permission, and that the council churchyard have a responsibility to look after the memorial, as does the mason to fit it properly. The owner's responsibility is to maintain it correctly. I wouldn't have the heart to attempt to explain these exorbitant prices. I think I would be tempted to say it's the council squeezing every last penny from you when you can least defend yourselves. The council should be ashamed of themselves. Trevor Webble, Hazley Road, Twyford.
And Dr. Michael Wilkes is concerned about cars. Sir, thanks to Phil Gagg for drawing attention to Winchester City Council's woeful and willful failure to address air pollution in Chronicle Letters, March the 3rd. It was useful to draw out the mortality implications of the recent findings of the Royal College of Surgeons that nationally 40,000 early deaths a year are attributable to this largely traffic-generated scourge. We would be interested to hear whether the Council has any reason to disagree with the estimate of 40 early deaths per year in Winchester, and if not, what its justification is for placing this burden on residents. Winchester Green Party, together with Friends of the Earth, has an ongoing complaint concerning the failure of the council to obey the law in this matter. The legal process continues in the Supreme Court, as well as the European Commission, and central government inaction looks very likely to lead to a massive annual penalty. The council has been informed by government that any fines levied against it will be passed down to authorities that have it in their power to affect air pollution. The council has it entirely within its power to solve the problem of air pollution in Winchester and has so far chosen not to do anything. Indeed, despite the fact that the council knew that it was subject to official complaint from 2012, it seems intent on making the problem worse. Its parking strategy in 2014 effectively undid the traffic reduction policy of its town access plan, thus ensuring the poisoning of our air would get worse. You recently reported that Councillor James Burns is conducting another parking review. If the council has any intention of effective action on air pollution, Councillor Burns must conclude that traffic in Winchester Centre should be reduced. Disturbingly, however, your report would seem to suggest that Councillor Burns may actually be proposing an increase in central area parking. In due course, we will follow up our formal complaint with a report on the Council's progress, or lack of it, towards legality. We await Councillor Burns's report with concern. That was from Dr. Michael Wilkes of Winchester Green Party.
And here is a letter from Keith Hatter, Chairman, Winchester Area Access for All. Good access audit. Sir, I write this letter on Disabled Access Day to thank and congratulate those shops which were recognised by Winchester Area Access for All as providing good access for people with disabilities. Audits were carried out by mystery and overt shoppers, and gold, silver or bronze awards made to those businesses satisfying the relevant criteria. At a ceremony in Abbey House, the Mayor, Councillor Angela Clear, presented winners with certificates and badges. The badges can be displayed so that good practice is recognised and appreciated, to indicate that customers can enter the premises with confidence, and so that non-winners might ask themselves whether it's possible to improve their accessibility. We would also like to express our appreciation of the volunteers who carried out the audits. This is a continuing project, and anyone willing to help would be most welcome. Further details, email info@wafa.org.uk or call 01962 855016.
Sir, the County Council's £10,000 grant for the Dean's retirement party. What exactly has the very Reverend James Atwell done to make us so proud? He has presided over a decade of Christmas markets that are destroying our high street. Can the bean counters at the cathedral walk down our high street and the Brook Centre and realise what a sorry state it's all in? National companies, like Beals, are negotiating their rent to try to make it pay. It is very disappointing to note that the cathedral won't make any voluntary concessions on this. They should spend the £10,000 on consultants to see if the Christmas market is viable and send the ice rink packing, because that certainly isn't. Even when the public decided that conditions were too dangerous, they refused to give refunds. The customer is always right. We need to see these faceless bean counters from the cathedral to come forward and enter into this debate. The last dean, the late Michael Till, would have done so long before. He was dean when Princess Diana died. And now James Atwell wants to celebrate the Queen's 90th official birthday. AJ Nichols, Paintersfield, St Cross, Winchester.
Mary Salter thinks residents are ignored. Sir, I seem to have missed the meeting your reporter William Remmel attended last Monday, the 10th of March, as I was at the actual Highcliffe Community Forum. At this meeting, there were certainly plenty of people excited at the prospect of a leisure centre at Bar End, and even a couple wanted it to go ahead at full speed. But the vast majority of the attendees felt that the project was being rushed through with undue haste and without proper consultation. There has been significant confusion over the location, and much remains over the scale of the development. Local people seem happy with a proposed leisure centre on the garrison ground by the Bar End Road, with the former Serco site for parking. So why has this option been dropped by the City Council in favour of building on the protected King George V Memorial playing field with a long vehicular access behind Milland Road? I am mystified why your reporter quoted Councillor Ian Tate, who failed to announce himself when asked to do so by the chair, and actually said nothing publicly at the meeting. Perhaps this is because, as he has stated, he doesn't believe in public consultation. Finally, there certainly was a call for this project not to become another Silver Hill, but this was actually a reflection of the strong feeling that the council is yet again failing to listen to local views, and that unelected senior officers seem to be steering decisions for dubious reasons. If only the council would allow the city's people to participate. They have energy and experience to offer, which could lead to an end result the whole community could be proud of. And that's from Mary Salter, St Leonard's Road, Highcliffe.
Unfounded worry. Sir, I write in response to Mr Hodder's letter in the Chronicle, March the 10th, concerning the proposed green gas mill at Sparshot College. In his letter, the site is damned for a raft of reasons which altogether conjure up visions of Sparshot becoming a disaster zone. However, the letter continues by acknowledging that digesters are already operating at both Farley Wallop, Basingstoke and at Pickett Peace, Andover. And yet these digesters have not only passed the planning stage, but also little has been heard from the residents of Farley Wallop or Pickett Peace concerning such events as visualised by Mr Hodder's concerns. Written by Frank Adsett, Manor Road, Durley.
And Karen Barrett's letter is titled A Risk of Disaster. Sir, I attended the Cabinet meeting on March the 10th when the proposed judicial review of the City Council's decision to terminate the Silver Hill Agreement was discussed. As everyone knows, most of the problems with this contentious and costly millstone round the Council's neck arose because of a failure to follow procedures which would have ensured a range of design proposals for the site. Instead, we ended up with one developer where the choice was take it or leave it. It was worrying, therefore, that in answer to a separate question about the Council's next big project, Station Approach, the Chief Estates Officer, Kevin Warren, seemed entirely comfortable with the process, which has seen three of the five architects pull out. I suppose we could say that a short list of two represents 100% improvement on Silver Hill. But it really isn't good enough to say that all is well, simply because the two designs are different. Maybe the timescale should be extended and further bids invited. If they are not forthcoming, it must surely cast doubt on the process itself. Councillor Victoria Weston, standing in for leader Stephen Godfrey, said, "The council should stick with the process and give the two designs a chance. I fear in the wake of Silver Hill, Winchester City Council has a let's get on with it mindset, but it risks another disaster if insufficient time is taken to get this one right. Karen Barrett, Byron Avenue, Full Flood, Winchester."
And Susanna Corey Wright says, "Thanks so much, sir. As one of the drivers who had to be cut free from her vehicle in the road traffic accident that occurred on the M3 on the night of March the 10th, I would just like to praise all the emergency services involved, from the police, fire brigade, medics, and particularly the lovely man who held my hand while I was being cut out. Every individual is exemplary in his or her professionalism and compassion. The emergency services and the NHS system are just some of the agencies that work tirelessly, often anonymously, for our benefit. We should be immensely proud of them." And that's from Susanna Corey Wright of Pound Lane, Sherfield English.
Save our centres. Sir, as a grandmother and retired teacher, I am very concerned about the decision to stop funding Sure Start centres. This programme was set up to address the inequality in life chances that exist for young people from birth. As the Department of Education acknowledges, this inequality is likely to have profound consequences not just for the children but for their families, communities and for society at large. The latest report, 2012, by the Department of Education found that not only was a more stimulating home learning environment provided by adults with contact with the programme, but those adults also reported having better life satisfaction. What is the price that children, families, communities and society as a whole will pay in the future for this decision? I suggest it will be higher than the positive legacy that any street party could have. This was by Nikki Elks, Alsford Road, Winchester.
And on a similar theme to one of the other letters, "Sir, you should be proud of your local hospital. Whilst visiting relatives in the Horton area this weekend, I unfortunately severely injured my ankle, necessitating an A&E visit to Winchester Hospital. From the point of entry through to the exit point, the help, advice and support I received was exemplary. The reception staff, the triage nurse, the radiologist and finally the emergency medical practitioner were just amazingly caring, humorous and just what one would dream for the service to be like. In fact, it made a potentially dreadful day almost enjoyable. Thank you to all the staff and the team at Winchester A&E. You are fantastic. Peter Cremoisen, Beverston Way, Plymouth."
If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can telephone 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860836. You can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you can write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Looking into history, we begin with the news 200 years ago on the 18th of March 1816. And the first item is headed Thatched Blaze, Winchester. In the afternoon of Monday last, a fire broke out at the back part of the premises of Mr. Brown Draper at Ringwood. It was occasioned by the bursting of a chimney, which immediately communicated to the thatched dwelling house. In a short time, the whole premises were in a blaze and threatened destruction of the adjoining house. But happily, through the great exertions of the inhabitants, the fire was extinguished. The dwelling house was, however, in a short time destroyed, together with most of the property. The second item is headed Charity Misplaced. Yesterday morning, a miserable-looking African, apparently in the last stage of poverty and wretchedness, was seen lurking about in one of the transfer offices in the bank. His sorrowful and woebegone appearance had an immediate effect upon the charitable dispositions of some of the clerks there, who made up a purse of 13 shillings and presented it to him. He accepted it very thankfully, but was shortly after seen signing his name in a book at the other end of the office. And on inquiry, it was discovered that the supposed mendicant was accepting a transfer of £170 stock, which he had just purchased.
And here we have two accounts from 100 years ago. On March the 18th, 1916, Germans repulsed. The Crown Prince has made another attempt to capture the commanding height of Dead Man Hill on the left bank of the Meuse and has again failed. After terrific bombardment, the Germans were launched to the attack in waves, but were powerless against the French resistance. Falling back to Crowswood, they were shelled by the concentrated fire of our Allies' artillery and suffered serious losses. The enemy claimed that they possessed this commanding height, a falsehood which has been exposed in Paris. On the right bank of the river, the bombardment has been heavy near Douaumont and Vaux. And then we have the Great War widens. Austria-Hungary is at war with Portugal. The wireless press announced on Wednesday that, on account of the state of war between Portugal and Germany, the Austro-Hungarian minister in Lisbon has been instructed to demand his passports and to leave the country. The Portuguese minister, who has been recalled to Berlin, says a profound change has taken place in the last few months. In the same circles where the bellicose spirit formerly reigned, one sees only weariness and regrets. Now only peace is spoken of and the necessity of concluding peace.
And there are two items from 50 years ago, March the 19th, 1966. Cathedral Appeal. Although not in danger of falling down, as it was 50 years ago, Winchester Cathedral is nevertheless in urgent need of structural repair now, if the building is to be preserved for posterity, said the Dean, the Very Reverend O.H. Gibbs Smith, in his Sunday morning sermon, during which he launched a £405,000 national appeal for the cathedral, thought to be the largest ever public appeal by a dean and chapter. The Dean said the cathedral was in a state of penury, despite being more popular than ever before in its history. An estimated 359,000 people visited the building last year because it had to fend for itself financially, being nobody's friend. And the second item is titled Greenacres Opens. The greater emphasis now being placed on the training of the mentally handicapped, with a consequent removal of many of the taboos that once surrounded the problem, is shown by the Greenacres Training Centre in Andover Road, which has just begun functioning. The centre looks like any other modern school or clinic, but it is purpose-built for its job. And this is in no little way helps the staff under the supervisor, Miss B. Daniel, who previously have had to carry out their specialised and demanding work in two buildings at Stanmore, not specifically designed for the task in hand.
And 25 years ago, on the 15th of March 1991, the first item is close the Rattran. Residents in St John Street, Winchester, are calling for the closure of the road to put an end to fast and dangerous driving. A petition signed by 46 residents has been sent to Winchester City Council. It lists a number of suggestions to improve traffic problems in the street. Members of the City Council's Health and Works Engineering Services Subcommittee considered the petition at a meeting on Monday. They decided that the issue should be deferred to be discussed at a later date in conjunction with a traffic order concerning waiting restrictions. And the second is M3 Toll Tunnel. Mr John Brown, MP, has put a plan to the Minister of Transport to finance privately a tunnel at the M3 link in Winchester. The idea is being considered. It is several weeks since Mr Brown met Mr Malcolm Rifkin and his parliamentary private secretary to propose the plan. I put forward the idea I put forward the idea if he would consider private money to raise for the financing of the tunnel, Mr Brown said. He said he would consider it. Mr Brown's initiative predates by some weeks the proposed announcement by Twyford Down Association of a toll tunnel under Twyford Down, also a private sector initiative. That ends the letters, and we move on to the Hampshire Chronicle comment, which is read by Lynn. Thank you, Lynn.
Hundreds turn out to help Zara find donor. On Saturday, more than 850 people gave up their time to help a teenage girl most of them have never met. Hundreds of people went to St Peter's Church in Winchester to take part in a donor drive for 13-year-old Zara Al-Sheikh. She is battling cancer, and without success, successful treatment, her future is bleak. It is sometimes a journalistic cliche to use the word desperate, but for Zara, the word is apt. She has a form of leukemia and needs to find a stem cell match, and quickly. Perhaps one of those 850 people will have the genes that Zara needs. Until a donor is found, the search will go on. There is no doubt that the amazing turnout reflects well on Winchester. As her father Lewis said, when you see this, you think it's going to happen. All the volunteers have to do is have their cheeks swabbed for 60 seconds. The results are sent off to be analysed, and anyone who matches Zara will have some of their stem cells removed, which could then be injected into Zara to fight the cancer. The donation of their time and swabs could help others apart from Zara. We urge everyone reading this week's Chronicle to take a little time out to help Zara. Swabs can be ordered online at deletebloodcancer.org.uk, and any healthy person aged between 18 and 55 can take part. It will only take a few minutes and you could be saving a life.
And first person this week by George Hayter is headed, Can Trump Win Winchester? Even with a slide rule, it took me 2 days to develop the app, which relies on biographical facts, to forecast what US presidential hopeful Donald Trump might do. Into the software, I also typed political and sociological data on the Winchester City Council area. Then I told the computer to imagine that a presidential-style elected mayoralty had been introduced for Winchester with the Donald a candidate. I wondered if the American billionaire's insults and boasting could get him elected here. Although it takes up much of our double garage, my ageing computer is not the best. It is housed in wardrobe-sized cabinets fronted by tape reels spooling back and forth in Man from U.N.C.L.E. style. As a test, I wiped the cobwebs from its keyboard and typed in 2 plus 2. The answer came out as 7. Easily accurate enough for my purposes. I pressed start on the Trump program, and after an hour, the predictions began to emerge. Day one of my administration, and illegal immigrants are getting out of Winchester and getting out fast, was the first predictable quote. Next, the computer foresaw an encore of Trump's verdict on global warming. A total hoax. Windmills are destroying every county in England. The programme predicted that Trump would choose King Alfred's statue as the backdrop for an outdoor campaign rally. He would arrive by helicopter and tell the crowds, "The world knows that folks in New Hampshire love me. Now folks in Old Hampshire can adore me too." The crowd would reach fever pitch when he told them, "I'm in your country to kick ass and win." Even Winchester refined voters are forecast to be charmed by Mr. Trump's brash confidence, particularly when it comes to real estate matters, which are the basis of his wealth. "Your city politicians couldn't find their way to a slot machine if they were in Vegas," Mr. Trump would say. "Your councillors couldn't even get a wrecking ball to your little downtown slum and replace it with a few condos that wouldn't be big enough for my dog. That's dismal and disgusting. Your politicians, that is, not my dog." The computer thought Trump's legendary changes of mind were likely to continue, predicting these two quotes about Barton Farm in the same speech. "That's a dull field, folks, and it's begging for a skyscraper." 5 minutes later, he would say, "If it's a choice between a handful of neighbours wanting to preserve their view over an empty field, if it's a choice between that and hundreds of Winchester folk desperate for a home, then I can tell you, I'm going to kick the dog walkers off there and make the land available to the poor homeless." Both pronouncements would be met with wild applause. On winning the election, Mr. Trump would repeat an earlier quote. "You know, it really doesn't matter what the media write as long as you're young and you've got a beautiful piece of ass." It must be software error, but the computer said the crowd would even cheer that. The computer said that a rally in the Great Hall was likely to be remembered for Mr. Trump's reaction to a lone demonstrator. "I love the old days," he would say. "You know what they used to do to with guys like you when they're in a place like that? You'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. I'd like to punch him in the face, I tell you that," he would add, prompting the applause from the audience. Then I'm afraid the computer went wrong. It seemed to mix up Mr. Trump's campaigning record with an old history essay I'd typed into the computer when I was still at school. The essay was on the rise of Hitler and how he'd praised violence at Nazi rallies in the 1920s. Funny how the computer somehow confused Mr. Trump with an eccentric dictator whose easy solutions brought hatred and war. Belgorum's alternative look at the news with this week comprises three items, of which Maria will read the first.
And the first item is titled "Guardian Man is Guest." Much excitement surrounds the final guest to be announced for Winchester Independent's first meeting tonight. Guardian columnist John Harris is hot stepping down to the launch as part of a video series entitled "Anywhere But Westminster." Whether that is an objective for the newspaper's output or the subject of the film remains to be seen. But Mr. Harris is set to discover whether Winchester is among the dozens of communities trying to wrestle back power from the party political elite. Potential national recognition will be a boost for some of the independents' excitable supporters. In a recent comment on the Chronicle website, one called to "take back the Guildhall by force if necessary." Let's hope the Guardian camera is in place when the angry mob sweeps down the Broadway and the guillotine is wheeled out. Belgorum was unsure which Winchester citizen would sit in the front row knitting as the tumbril goes by, carrying the condemned. And there are two photos with this article. One is of Mike Caldwell, Judith Martin and Tim Fell standing outside the Guildhall, and a portrait of John Harris, the columnist.
The second item is headed "Creating Demand." Build it and they shall come. The Brooks Shopping Centre attracted dozens of families on Mother's Day weekend to leave tributes on a special message wall. It was a touching occasion for many mums who were seen welling up and embracing their children after reading their praise. But one mischievous artist drew something better known to Dad, Belgarum has learned. A crude anatomical drawing, drawn over a professionally sketched daffodil, was said to have slightly dampened the occasion before it was covered up with post-it notes. The culprit's motives are unknown, but anyone with information should contact the Chronicle immediately with a suitable pun.
And finally, we have no pies in Pie Week. Bad timing for the Queen Anne Inn down in St Cross. Belgarum was lucky enough to enjoy a fine dinner at the Kingsgate pub last Thursday. Browsing the menu, one of our entourage was intrigued by the Pie of the Week, the visit coming as it did during British Pie Week, the annual attempt by producers to promote one of the nation's culinary designs. Sadly, the kitchen had chosen this of all weeks to take its pastries off the menu. "Wow," our apologetic waiter said. "Bad week not to have any pies."
This week's announcements start with What's On, and here are several events on in and around Winchester. On Friday the 25th of March at Tichborne House is the traditional distribution of the Tichborne Dole, when adults from the parishes of Tichborne and Cheriton can each claim 1 gallon of flour. Children can claim half a gallon each. On Saturday the 26th of March, Mr and Mrs Egg will be visiting the Brooks Shopping Centre from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and will perform an amusing dance routine. Easter egg decorating workshops will run throughout the day. On Bank Holiday Monday the 28th of March, the Garden of Crawley Court is open from 2 to 5.30 under the National Gardens scheme and the admission is £4. On the same day at 4 p.m. there is an organ recital at Winchester Cathedral and tickets are £10 from the Cathedral Box Office 01962 857 275. And that's 01962 857 275. On Thursday the 31st of March, the lunchtime talk at the Hampshire Record Office is entitled Governor Arthur Phillip and Lyndhurst. Arthur Phillip was the first governor of New South Wales. A reminder that the coffee bar in United Church, Jury Street, is open every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the Brendan Kerr Friendship Club meets every Saturday at Winchester Discovery Centre from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. There are also friendship clubs on alternative Thursdays at Badger Farm Community Centre and alternate Fridays at Week Community Centre. For full details, telephone 01962 857 099. That's 01962 857 099. Lighting up time ended this morning, Friday the 18th of March at 6:12 a.m. and begins at 6:16 p.m. On Wednesday the 23rd of March, it ends at 6 a.m. and begins at 6:24 p.m. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Irene Dowding on 01962 870 370. That's 01962 870 370. Now we continue with items of general news, and the first item is read by Maria. Thank you, Maria.
6 day ride for charity. He knows from experience how the money can help. Tom Patchell is cycling up and down Cheesfoot Head to raise money for sport relief. The keen cyclist from Chandler's Ford was signed off work as a planning enforcer at Winchester City Council with stress a few years ago. Now he has 2 children under the age of 4 and is working 5 part-time jobs to support his family. "It was hard for me, but I understand how important sport can be," said Tom, who used sport to cope with his stress. "I want to give back to a charity that can help people the same way I was helped. Sport is such a great thing for people dealing with mental illness, and it can get them through the hard times." The personal trainer has set himself the task of Everesting the well-known hill, which is part of Matterley Estate. In total, Mr. Patchell, 41, will cover the equivalent vertical ascent of Mount Everest, 29,029 feet, in 6 days. This will see him spend up to 5 hours a day on the bike to reach his target of £1,000. Originally, the challenge was set to 5 days, but the cyclist found that his recovery routine was not working. He said, "I got in on Monday, had a shower, an ice bath, and then had my recovery protein shake. By the time I had finished all this, I then needed to have dinner, but I wasn't hungry, and this was not good as I needed to consume 4,500 calories per day." Each day, Tom will have to cycle around 2,000 metres to reach his target. This means travelling up the A272 28 times. "I love cycling," he added. "I wouldn't be doing this if I knew it wasn't worth it. The views from the top of the hill make the ascent that much more rewarding." And there's a photo of this article of Tom on his bike cycling up the A272.
Sorry. Bird experts talk. The talk to the Winchester and District branch of the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds was presented by Mike Reed, wildlife photographer, on the nature of the Vercors, a secret corner of France. Vercors is an area of limestone mountains between Grenoble and Valence, with many species of wildlife not found in the UK. This region has many birds, mammals, butterflies, and an abundance of wildflowers. From the roadside, chamois, a goat antelope animal, could be seen. Also on the verges there were many wildflowers growing, such as poppies, cornflowers, and white campion. In many of the areas, there was an abundance of orchids like lady slipper orchid, bird's nest orchid, and pink globe orchid. Among the birds were black kite, red-backed shrike, black redstart and marsh warbler, short-toed eagle and griffin vulture. This secret corner of France seems to have much to offer all those who are interested in nature, if it's birds, plants or mammals. And to top it all, it has some outstanding scenery from mountain cliffs to woodland and valleys.
Review of the council after fiasco to be late. Winchester civic chiefs will miss a deadline for a review of how it works, recommended by the report into the Silver Hill fiasco. An independent report by Claire Lloyd-Jones called on the city council to conduct a review of governance and create a new constitution by May 2016. The audit committee chairman, Neil Cutler, said that was impossible because of lack of time. Tory councillor Rose Burns and Lib Dem Margot Power have drawn up an action plan to address the failures that benighted the £150 million Silver Hill scheme. Among their ideas was to bring back the old-style committee system, which saw bodies of councillors exercise much greater power than under the present cabinet system. The ideas were thrashed out at the audit committee, tasked with drawing up ideas for the cabinet. Councillor Burns stressed that Councillor Kim Gottlieb, whose successful judicial review helped derail Silver Hill, had no input into their suggestions. Council Chief Executive Simon Eden said he wanted to make it clear that Ms. Lloyd-Jones had not accused senior officers of lacking the necessary professional and commercial skills, something that had been seized on by council critics. Mr. Eden said Ms. Lloyd-Jones had clarified that to say it had been suggested to her. She did not criticise council staff. It had been put to her, and that is quite different. Mr. Neil Cutler said the committee accepted the report and he did not want to kick it into the long grass. Councillor Power said our decision-making has not been good during Silver Hill. This audit committee should try to improve the quality of that decision-making. Councillor Ian Tate said a lot of the criticism of councillors and officers was with the benefit of hindsight. The committee voiced disagreement with some of Lloyd Jones's criticisms, such as that the council is hostile to competition. Councillor Dominic Hiscock said that she was referring to the fact that the River Park Leisure Centre contract has not been tendered for more than 20 years, and that the original Silver Hill scheme, just after the millennium, should have been open to tender, as should changes in 2014. Mr. Eden warned against the council beating itself up. He said the council sometimes needs to be prouder of what it does, because the negative message is affecting staff morale and the way staff work. Councillor Tate said the council should just listen to the critics of Silver Hill, adding, "We must not just listen to the minority of people, we have to meet the aspirations of the whole community."
Outstanding hospice receives praise. Naomi House Children's Hospice has been rated outstanding again by the National Care Watchdog. The centre in Sutton Scotney impressed inspectors from the Care Quality Commission, CQC, on a surprise visit in December. The new report highlights the inclusion of children in how Naomi House and Jack's Place are run. An holistic approach to care and a service based on the children's diverse needs. Of 1,337 reports issued in the past month, only 17 organisations have been rated outstanding. The CQC's Deborah Ivanova said, "We know how challenging yet rewarding it is to work in such a service, and we were struck by the extent to which the hospice places the children and young people at the heart of everything it does." The report included opinions of families who use the service. One bereaved parent who was receiving counselling and support from the charity's family support team told inspectors, "It's been extraordinary. And they have normalised it and made it okay. We have just felt so looked after, and I can't fault them. They can have a big shiny star from me." Mark Smith, chief executive at Naomi House and Jack's Place, said, "The checks made by the CQC have become increasingly stringent in recent years, and this glowing report is a reflection of the commitment and dedication of our entire team to deliver the very highest standards of care." And there's a photograph of staff and residents at Naomi House celebrating their outstanding CQC rating and holding up a big banner.
Trio fined for coursing. Three men have been fined for illegal hair coursing. Fred and Thomas Ball, with friend Alfie Kerry, all from Surrey, were spotted trespassing on farmland south of Mitchell Deaver Road, close to Whitchurch, on September the 30th last year. They appeared in court last Thursday, charged under the Game Act 1831. Aldershot Magistrates Court heard police attended and located the three with their vehicle, which had sustained a puncture. Three Saluki dogs were seized. The trio were found guilty of poaching and ordered to pay fines and compensation totalling £3,000.
Art Exhibit Award Praise. A floating art workshop has won a prestigious award after gracing a hillside near Winchester last year. The observatory's creative space and viewing point in the grounds of Winchester Science Centre at Morne Hill has earned it a Civic Trust Award. Its creators were commended at last week's London ceremony for their sustainable design and its positive impact on the environment and community. The project was the brainchild of Hampshire's SPUD architects and first came together at a meeting convened by Winchester City Council. The two-part structure was designed by architecture practice Field & Clegg Bradley Studios following a national competition. And the finished installation spent its first 6 months at Morne Hill in early 2015. The workshop had striking views across the downland to Cheesfoot Head. It is now at the Keyhaven Nature Reserve near Lymington. A Winchester City Council spokesman said, "We wish Mark and Phil at Spud all the success in delivering the second year of the project with new partners in Hampshire and the South West. And there's a photograph of the installation which looks as if it fits into the scenery very well.
Solent set to elect first mayor after deal struck. The Solent is set to elect its first mayor, who will have powers over $1 billion of funding for improvements in the region. An announcement on the devolution of powers had been expected in today's budget, but has now been delayed. However, civic chiefs in the South have confirmed that a deal has been struck with the government, and the Solent's first mayor could be voted in next May. Negotiations over a Hampshire-wide deal were launched 2 years ago, but the government has opted for the Solent area instead, after resistance to plans for a mayor from some council leaders. The area would cover Southampton and Portsmouth City Councils, Eastleigh, Gosport, Fareham and Havant Borough Councils, East Hampshire District Council and the Isle of Wight Council. That would leave councils such as the County Council, New Forest District, Tess Valley Borough and Winchester City outside of the deal. But Southampton leader Simon Lett says there would be an opportunity for them to join at a later date. County leader Roy Perry had led the Hampshire-wide bid, but has now criticised the government for its insistence on a mayor and indicated that the authority would not be involved at this stage due to the breakneck speed that the plans were being hurried through in. The new authority is set to sit on top of existing councils, whose roles and responsibilities will largely stay the same. Southampton and Portsmouth's budgets for main roads would come under the responsibility of the new authority, as would the county councils for its areas falling into the Solent region. However, motorways would stay under the responsibility of Highways England. The combined authority will borrow money from government to spend on economic growth and housing, and could be responsible for increasing business productivity, creating more jobs, boosting adult education and training, a transport budget and franchise bus services. It could also see the region keep all business rates generated in the Solent while losing current annual government funding grants. Much of the funding for projects would be borrowed, and Fareham Borough Council leader Sean Woodward said total spending powers over coming decades could reach £1 billion. He said the new mayor would be unlike London Mayor Boris Johnson because they would not have as many powers and have significant checks and controls on their authority. Councillor Perry said he would not rule the County Council out of any devolution deal in the future, saying, "We've been given a pause and I hope that will be used to see what is the best way forward." And there are photos of Roy Perry and Sean Woodward with this article.
M3 crash injuries. Two people were injured in a crash on the M3 southbound between Winchester and Eastleigh. The collision involved several vehicles, including a lorry. Police closed the road as firefighters helped extract casualties from the vehicles. The incident happened last Thursday at 10:25 p.m. between Junction 11 and 12. The southbound carriageway was sealed off after one of the vehicles overturned and at least two people were hurt. Firefighters from Eastleigh, Winchester and Redbridge Station used cutting gear to free two people from the wreckage.
Force learns more on Chief Constable-to-be. She was expected to be announced as Hampshire's new police chief as the Chronicle went to press. And the Force learned more about Olivia Pinckney, as she was quizzed on her plans to keep the county safe. Councillors deciding whether or to approve her as Chief Constable asked about her values, experience and policies at the Police and Crime Panel. Miss Pinckney, currently Deputy Chief Constable at Sussex Police, highlighted what she described as her experience, integrity and commitment to diversity. She told the meeting, "I do believe I am clear on what needs to be done. That's building on the great work that's already there, building on the great partnerships that already exist, but also taking it to the next level." She added, "If I go back 30 or 25 years, policing was, in my view, professionally arrogant. It was, we know what's best, and that's that. There's no place for that in modern society." Miss Pinkney pledged to carry on her battle against child sexual exploitation to Hampshire from Sussex, where she led an initiative dubbed Operation Kite. Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Hayes, who recommended her to replace former Hampshire Chief Andy Marsh, says, "Mrs. Pinkney, in my view, has the experience, has the dignity, has the understanding and the humility needed to be a modern chief constable in a modern era." The Cambridge maths graduate has previously served as assistant inspector at the National Police Watchdog and assistant chief constable for Sussex and Surrey Police.
Heated night bus row turns political. Debate over the future of a Winchester bus service turned into a political row, writes Michael Carr. A heated town forum meeting discussed Winchester night bus that links the city centre with Badger Farm, Stanmore, Week and Hairstock from Thursday to Saturday. The service has been subsidised by £13,800 by Winchester Town Forum and has been in operation for more than 3 years and has seen passenger numbers swell since 2013. However, a report stated the service would be unlikely to cover its costs and become commercially viable. And some councillors believe other services that have been reintroduced by Stagecoach already offer the same route. Conservative councillor Robert Sanders described the route as political kicks for Liberal Democrats councillors. Councillor Sanders said, "It's time to stop this political agreement and it is time to stop getting your political kicks on Route 66. Can we afford £13,800? It's very clear we should vote against this." But Liberal Democrat councillor Martin Todd hit back and criticised a recent proposal by councillors to divert £150,000 to revamp the area by the Casson block on St George's Street instead of tackling poor city air quality. He described the decision as spending money on a pollution patio. Councillor Todd said, "When you're talking about wasting money, £150,000 on the pollution patio is ridiculous." Conservative councillor Ian Tate accused Lib Dem councillors of not supporting independent business on St George's Street and Parchment Street. Conservative councillor Eileen Berry moved the debate back to the focus point of the future for the night bus. Councillor Berry said, "There are a lot of people that need it, and even if they may be in the minority, and as far as that is concerned, let's forget about the money and think about what we are doing for the people." Her sentiments were echoed by Labour group leader Janet Berry, who believes the bus service is vital. Councillor Berry said, "There are so many people in Winchester who don't have access to a car, and this service can be a lifeline for people. And if it is stopped, it may mean people can't get to work anymore." Councillors voted to keep the subsidy with 11 in favour and 4 opposed. The area by the Casson block has been the subject of a campaign for years involving local traders Tom Romita and Miff Kayam, who recently closed Bengal Sage, his restaurant.
Speakers Festival. Famed thinkers and writers are coming to Winchester for a new festival celebrating the spoken word. Guests at Winchester Speakers Festival in May include BBC presenter Dan Cruikshank, philosopher A.C. Grayling and Guardian journalist Luke Harding. The weekend kicks off on May the 14th with author Alison Weir telling the story of Catherine of Aragon, Henry VIII's first wife. Columnist Yasmin Al-Libia Brown will tackle English multiculturalism, while Jeremy Corbyn biographer Rosa Prince charts the Labour leader's remarkable rise. Political debate continues with an EU debate between former Labour minister Dennis McShane and leading Eurosceptic Daniel Hannan MEP.
Trees are the answer to flooding woes, university studies find. Experts say that the strategic planting of trees on floodplains could reduce levels of flooding. A team from Southampton University has worked with fellow experts from the University of Birmingham on a study showing that trees could reduce the height of flooding in towns downstream from the floodplains by up to 20%. It comes 2 years after Hampshire was hit by some of the worst flooding in a generation, with the military called in to protect homes and businesses in Winchester, while Romsey was also affected. They looked at how tree planting, river restoration and log jams could affect the peak height of a flood in a town downstream. They found that planting trees on floodplains and increasing log jams across 10 to 15% of the river's length could reduce the highest point of flooding in the town by 6% after trees had grown for 25 years. More extensive floodplain forests and improvements to rivers resulted in the peak height of the floods being reduced by up to 20%, with that trend continuing the older and more developed the forests were. The study was funded by the Environment Agency, which is looking at different ways to tackle flooding and reduce potential damage areas. That article is accompanied by a photograph from February 2014 of the army lowering bags of gravel into the river Itchen at Kingsworthy to prevent flooding downstream.
Title and promotion. Winchester Hockey Men's Second 11 are celebrating winning the Hampshire Division 1 title and promotion after a hard-earned point against second-place Weymouth. It wasn't quite clear at first that Winch had taken the crown because they believed the entertaining end-to-end 4-4 draw wasn't quite enough to clinch the title. However, it transpired that with Gillingham losing the solitary point meant that Winchester were 7 points clear of the chasing pack, meaning they could not be caught. It probably should have been a lot easier, though, as they battled for a draw. Having surrendered a 2-0 lead, Winchester found themselves behind twice in the second half. But as has so characterised their excellent season, they weren't about to let this one go. They remained calm and played their way back into the game with some excellent patterns of play and individual finishing. The club stated, "This successful championship campaign is testament to the mix of youth and experience that comprises the team, who have been praised by opposition, umpires and spectators for their playing style and conduct. The energy and enthusiasm of Peter Simmons students such as Ollie Brown and Matt Cole, as well as the skill and vision of Tom Bolam and Matt Stokes, has been a huge factor in the side's success. However, veteran striker Andy Winnett's leadership and example has once more been peerless and brought the very best from his talented band of followers. The team look forward to the challenge of Hampshire Surrey Division 2 next season."
Majority of pupils get first choice for school. Most Hampshire pupils have got the secondary school places they wanted. Hampshire County Council said that 98% of parents applying for a Year 7 place for their child were offered a secondary school of their choice. A total of 93.5% received a place at their first preferred school. However, this leaves nearly 900 parents not gaining a place at their first choice of school for their child. Councillor Peter Edgar, Executive Member for Education, said, "I understand there will be some disappointment for those parents who did not secure a place at one of their chosen schools, but every child whose parent applied for a place at a Hampshire secondary school has been offered one. There are always individual schools with exceptionally high demand, which is a credit to the high standard of teaching at these schools." Councillor Edgar said it was a significant achievement to be able to offer a very high number of pupils a place at their preferred school, considering the size of the county and increase in the demand for school places. A total of 13,467 on-time applications were received this year, which was up by more than 500 from last year. Councillor Edgar said, "Pupil numbers continue to rise, and I am pleased to say that our investment in schools to provide the additional places is keeping pace, thanks to our strong track record in planning for the future. Pupils who did not secure a place at one of their chosen schools will be allocated a place at a school near to where they live with available spaces. Parents have the right to appeal and can put their child's name down on their preferred school's waiting list. The admissions team is now busy processing primary school applications with offers due to go out to parents on April the 18th.
New affordable homes. Surplus garden land owned by Winchester City Council has enabled the construction of two new affordable homes in Springvale, Swanmore. Councillor Caroline Horrill, City Council portfolio holder for housing, said Kiln Cottages is an excellent example of how the council is able to provide new affordable homes for rent through making the best use of their land. This site was visible from New Road as unmaintained garden land and is now a pair of carefully designed cottages which complement the street scene. The properties are ideally located for families, being close to schools and community facilities. The lucky new residents will also have reduced fuel bills due to the photovoltaic panels and the high level of energy efficiency of the build fabric overall. Planning permission was granted in January 2015. Maple Dean Developments was appointed as contractor in summer 2015 and will complete the homes at the end of March. These new homes are part of the council's ambitious programme to provide 300 new council homes. New council homes are allocated through Hampshire Home Choice, and that is accompanied by a photograph of Jeff Evans from Maple Dean and city councillors outside the two new homes.
Hampshire ranked one of the best places in country to enjoy a run. It is widely known that exercising is made better with spectacular views. Now, new findings have shown that Hampshire is one of the best places to run in the country. The study carried out by Strava, an athletics GPS system, has shown Hampshire is the fourth most used area for runners. The picture shows Winchester lit up bright blue, which means the area is used by runners regularly. The thicker and brighter the line, the more popular the route. In Winchester, the Weirs is used by runners and joggers of all ages. The map also shows that the area between Southampton and Portsmouth is also popular. Nevertheless, the county is not just loved by those on two legs. Two-wheeled enthusiasts also enjoy the area. The county ranked fifth as the most cycled. Topping both categories was unsurprisingly Greater London. The maps for the area showed a strong path for commuters cycling to work. With its huge population pushing the capital to the top of the list, the River Thames towpath through London is a popular route, as are runs in Regent's Park and Hyde Park in the centre of the city. And there is a map with this article displaying the many popular routes.
Hairdresser is moving to new salon. Tony and Guy Hair Salon in Winchester will officially move to their new premises next month. As reported in the Hampshire Chronicle, they have been at St George's Street in Winchester for around 20 years, but will move to a new premises in Southcote Street. The opening night of Tony and Guy takes place at their new base at 15 Southcote Street on April the 2nd from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The future of their current site on the junction of St George's Street and Drury Street is unclear.
Rogue trader who targeted the elderly gets 4 years. A man has been jailed for 4 years after admitting defrauding elderly and vulnerable women across Hampshire by overcharging them for house repair work. Mark Kempster, aged 50, was sentenced at Winchester Crown Court after admitting 6 counts of fraud by false representation at previous hearings. The court was told that last May, Kempster visited an 82-year-old woman in Alsford and charged her £1,860 for roof repairs that were never completed. And between January the 1st, 2013 and February the 2nd last year, he repeatedly called on a 61-year-old woman in Southampton after replacing some roof tiles at her home. He demanded more and more money for the work and obtained from her a total of £15,000. The court heard that on February the 17th last year, Kempster, of no fixed abode, visited a 90-year-old woman in her home in Andover and persuaded her that her roof needed repair work. He asked for cash up front and drove her into Andover town centre to go to a bank. He then left when the bank manager became suspicious. The court also heard that in November, Kempster received £2,650 from an 84-year-old woman in Gosport for work on her roof that was never completed. A confiscation hearing under the Proceeds of Crime Act will take place on July the 18th. Investigating police officer Detective Constable Paul Barry said Mark Kempster targeted the elderly and vulnerable and took substantial amounts of money from them. This is a despicable type of crime. Throughout the investigation, he showed no remorse to his victims and preyed on their good nature by offering to carry out work on the roofs of their properties. This work was often not even required, and the work that was completed was to a very poor standard and grossly inflated in price. This sentence should serve as a reminder that Hampshire police will always pursue criminals who commit this type of offence.
Junior doctors continue strike over contracts. Junior doctors were back on the picket lines last week as they continue to fight government plans to impose new working conditions. In a 48-hour stoppage, scores of medics in Hampshire joined a national stand against proposed contract changes, with industrial action taking place across the county. In Southampton, almost 200 hospital appointments were cancelled. Outside Southampton General Hospital, drivers passing by beeping car horns in support while patients waved in a show of solidarity. It was then to Guildhall Square, where a rally was staged as part of industrial action across the nation, including many medics from the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. Professor Colin Pritchard and Christina Baker from the BMA gave speeches, and Winchester musician Josh Savage and the Red Star Choir sung in support. Hospital bosses in Southampton confirmed that 170 outpatient appointments were cancelled and 3 planned non-urgent operations were cancelled. Winchester's RHCH was not able to provide numbers of cancellations, but said the impact of the strikes was minimal. Another round of 48-hour strikes are due from 8 a.m. on Wednesday, April the 6th, until 8 a.m. on Friday, April the 8th. And a third from 8 a.m. on Tuesday, April the 26th, until 8 a.m. on Thursday, April the 28th.
Top rating for school's new headmaster. The Pilgrim School has received the highest possible rating on its first inspection since the arrival of headmaster Tom Burden. The Winchester Boys School was graded excellent in all areas by the Independent Schools Inspectorate, ISI, the private sector's equivalent of Ofsted. The inspection, conducted in November, found the school offered excellent teaching, extracurricular precision, provision and governance, as well as praising the pupils' personal and spiritual development. The pupils' exceptional achievements in music were singled out for praise. The ISI's only recommended improvement was to boost IT use in the curriculum. Mr. Burden, who started as headmaster in January 2015, said he was pleased with the report, but added, "I'm even more pleased that we have ambition and determination to become day by day, wherever we can, in everything that we do, even better." A Pilgrim spokesperson said the report was proof that Mr. Burden was a top appointment.
And that concludes our extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors, Angela Ling and Valerie Lilly. Thank you to our copy and dispatch and studio preparation teams. And to our readers, Maria Head.
Bye.
And Lynn Parker.
Bye.
And from me, Tom Williams, goodbye, and do enjoy the week ahead. Please post your memory stick back as soon as possible in the yellow wallet. And when you put the label inside the wallet, please ensure the cord attached to the memory stick is fully inside the wallet. Thank you.